Well, welcome back to This Week in the Association. Rob and Kevin back here with you again as we are honored to welcome the Winnipeg Gold Eyes broadcaster Trevor Curl to the show. And Trevor, let's just talk about heading into your first season in the American Association. Just tell us a little bit about what that preparation looks like for you right now and just the excitement of the season getting underway.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me again. Right now, just hanging out in the lobby here in Kansas City, getting ready to play the Monarchs tomorrow and for the final preseason game of the season before heading down to Cleburne. Right now, we're basically just kind of getting your last looks at the guys before the regular season starts. Obviously, you can't really look at this team all too much of the preseason without really getting an understanding of where they were at beforehand. A lot of guys are coming in. They haven't had a ton of at-bats, so they're really trying to get their timing down right now. So you're going to see a couple more strikeouts than you normally would see throughout the regular season. But other than that, these guys are looking pretty good. They're starting to build their routines for a full season. Like I mentioned, some of these guys already played next coast. Some of these guys haven't even really seen live pitching until they got into Winnipeg and now are down here trying to get ready for a 100-game season. So everyone's preparation is a little different, mine included. So I'm just kind of taking my looks at everyone and kind of seeing what we have. Obviously, we go look through everyone on the stats line and see what they can do. But for right now, I'm kind of just watching them play, watching them have a feel for the game, and I'll have a feel for the team once we really get going.
Now, you're not there with the team for the 2023 season, Trevor, but you have been with the organization since November. What are some changes or direction you feel like the team has wanted to make in this offseason to be in a better position for next year? For this season, I mean.
Oh, last year there was obviously some tough ways to get through the season. The road schedule was certainly not that easy. The road records was also a little bit of a problematic thing. So I think the first step that the Gold Eyes did was to go out and make the travel a lot easier. And by doing that, they went out and found one of the coolest bus experiences that you could find, a sleeper bus. It's basically full of bunks, full of about 26 or so throughout the whole cabin, some playing card areas as well. So the guys seem to be really relaxed, and it makes travel a lot better. I've seen some of the guys around so far on this first road trip asking how their backs feeling. They said they don't even have any issues at all, which was not the case about a year ago from my understanding when talking to guys like Landon Barraza who have been here before. Another thing is going out and finding a little more youth. Logan Watkins, as we talked about last time I was on the show, is the new manager, and he's only 34 years old. In terms of manager speak, he's a very young guy. So we went a little bit of a different direction compared to Greg Taggart, who is a little bit on the older side, kind of the older school approach. Logan definitely has more that newer mentality that you see players have, so that it certainly helps out. And he's garnered a lot of respect so far from the players because he was one of them just a couple of years ago, and a lot of the guys really take what he says to heart and really have an understanding of where he's coming from because of the experiences he's had as a player. Organizationally, I think we've gone out and not tried to reinvent the wheel. I think the Gold Eyes have done such a great job to promote the team. They have one of the greatest fan bases. I think they actually do have the greatest fan bases in the American Association because of all the success and also because of being Canada's team in the American Association. Certainly garners a lot of that respect for the ball club. And in terms of just the personnel-wise, obviously I'm here now, a very young broadcaster, probably one of the youngest guys in the league. So there is definitely a shift of going to a more youthful adventure. Same in the front office, actually. There's a decent amount of guys who are around the same age as, at least getting around the same age as me, one of our social media, or at least our media communications assistant to Jason Young is also in his young 20s. So I think the whole organization is starting to move into a more youthful sense. And in that case, it also means that they're able to promote the ball club a little differently. And then in terms of playing-wise, I think this is the team who has a couple of returners coming through who have known how to take care of this ball club. And then the guys who are coming in understand the amount of history that the Gold Eyes have and the respect that they have throughout the league. So a lot of these guys are really excited to be a part of the Winnipeg Gold Eyes experience.
It's been interesting to follow in the last 4 or 5 days the route the Gold Eyes have taken to get down to Cleburne and start the season playing preseason games in Sioux Falls, Lincoln, and Kansas City. Was that a plan just to kind of break the trip up, or is it more of a long-range plan where these guys are getting a taste of other ballparks in the league and what they'll be facing when they do regular season road trips there.
I mean, there's a little bit of that, but I think it's mostly about breaking up that travel schedule and also getting these guys at bats. Everyone came in, and like I mentioned earlier, they're all coming in at different stages of their off-season preparation. Some guys, like I said, had a ton of at-bats already. Some guys haven't seen any live pitching. So these exhibition games down to Cleburne have all been about trying to break up the trip and then getting guys into games, getting guys in game scenarios, getting them settled into the batter's box again. For a lot of these guys, they haven't seen live pitching since probably September. So it takes a little bit to get used to being in the box. A lot of guys are also trying to get used to playing nine innings again. They haven't done that in a little bit. So I think the biggest teller of these preseason games is really getting guys a chance to play some competitive baseball again. And like I said, you know, these games don't really count, so they're not getting too stressed out or pressed if they're having a struggle. But at the same time, they're also knowing that, you know, the regular season's right around the corner, so they need to figure it out as soon as possible. But there's no panic from any of these guys. If they've gone 0-for-4 in the game, they're not trying to reset everything. If they go 4-for-4, like Dejan Cruz did in Sioux Falls, they're not going to try and, you know, try even harder the next day. They're just going to go out and do the same exact thing day in and day out. And I think that's just what being a professional is all about. And these guys have been doing this for a couple of years now, so they're all experienced out here.
Now, you were talking about the difficult road season the team had last year. Open on the road with 10 straight games, 6 in Cleburne, 4 in Kansas City. Not the easiest way to begin the year. But you close the season with 18 of your final 30 at home, including the last 6. So is there kind of a mindset that you say to yourself or you're hearing around the team where they're saying, if we don't necessarily get off to a great start, it's okay because of how many games we have at home late in the year?
Yeah, I talked with Logan about that at the beginning of the season, and I actually talked about it with him once the schedule was released all the way back in, I believe it was December. We had a couple of conversations about who we're going to be facing for the first part of the season, the defending Miles Wolf Cup champion and the Kansas City Monarchs for the second leg of the road trip. But the Cleburne series being 6 games, I asked Logan like what he thinks would be a solid road trip, and he says he's fine if the team goes 500 on this first road trip. It's really hard to win a 6-game series. I mean, it's hard to win series in general, but a 6-game series, you have to win 4 out of 6 of those games to get the same team and you see everyone. It's not like you're going out again 3-game series and then you don't see them until like June. Now, for the Railroaders, this is it. This is our only chance to get to play them. So I think there's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is if we kind of struggle against them, at least we don't have to see them again. But if we also do a good thing, it kind of does hinder you a little bit because you feel like, man, we really beat up on them, but unfortunately we don't get to see them again. I don't think that's most likely going to be the case. I think Cleburne is going to be an extremely competitive team. They have a ton of talent there. Logan was telling me a little bit about what he saw over there from his time as just looking at the transaction. I'd say a 3-3 split in Cleburne is a great result. I think it's a fine result. If we win a 4th game, obviously we're all going to be feeling pretty good heading up to Kansas City. And then going against Kansas City for a 4-game set to really finish off the road trip, I'm sure we're going to have some really tired guys who are ready to go back to their own bed, which their own bed, I guess, is a hotel in Winnipeg for most of them. So I think we're just all embracing the ability of playing on the road, and having the sleeper bus really does help, so we're not feeling as tired as we normally would be if we were just on a regular charter. So I mean, those are two very competitive teams that go right out of the gate. And if you finish 500, you feel pretty good about yourself going home with a packed Blue Cross Park against the Chicago Dogs, who also will be a very competitive team this year. Just bring some good momentum back home. 500 baseball, they'll play. If you go 4-6, it's still not the end of the world, but you definitely feel a lot better being 500 than a game below. But if you go anything less than, if you win less than 3 games here, I think there'll be some soul searching going into the first part of the season, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think a 500 record is a very, very easable threshold. And if we go home to Blue Cross Park at 500 and feel like your season's really getting started back at home, I feel like these guys are going to be pretty confident in themselves.
Has Logan spoke much about his thoughts for feelings going back to Cleburne, managing against the organization that he just left last fall?
We talked about it before. We've talked on the air and behind the scenes. There's no ill feelings between him and the Railroaders. Obviously, they decided to go a different direction with their managing options, and Logan understood that that was the case. So he was totally okay with being able to get a new opportunity with the Goldeyes and getting a chance to go to a ball club who really did seem to want him, with Sam Cates and Andrew Collier being thrilled to get a chance to get a guy who is as knowledgeable and as decorated as Logan is. He's excited to go back to Cleburne. Obviously, he feels like he wants to go in and go take care of business against his former ball club. I think anyone who feels about that way going against a former team. I know certainly when I was a player and you had friends on another team, you definitely wanted to go kick them a little bit more than you would just any other opponent. And for Logan, he knows all the guys over in Cleburne are great people. He respects them, and they respect him as well. And he's really excited to get a chance to open up the season in Cleburne. It gives him a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, a little bit more than some other guys would be. But someone else who's excited to return home would be Zach Reininger, who will most likely be the number two starter in that series. He's excited to head back home to Texas. He resides down in San Antonio. He's got his family who's going to come out most likely to see him pitch too. So there's going to be a lot of homecoming feelings for those two guys. And, you know, they're certainly excited to get a chance to get their season off on the right foot in Texas. And sitting, like I said, six games, that's a lot. And it's all in one little stretch. So luckily there'll be a day off before the series in Kansas City.
And Trevor, it looked like last year this team was able to produce a lot of offense, but the pitching staff struggled at really mightily at some points, but that starting staff looks like it's going to be pretty solid this year. Do you see that as the strength of this team this year?
Yeah, I think that was the first thing I noticed when Logan announced his first couple of signings, and I think the starting pitching for any ball club is the foundation. It really means if your team is going to go far or not, because you're basically going as long as your starter is. Looks like we got Colton Eastman, who's so far going to be the ace of the staff at the moment. We don't really know who really is going to be the ace of the staff until we get into the season, because that's how good these arms are. But Colton Eastman pitched really good in Sioux Falls. He's a guy who's had a lot of great experiences over the past couple of years, pitched really well for Cal State Fullerton, had some decent seasons in the minor leagues in the athletics organization and so on. He's a guy who's going to be really good. I'm excited to see him go. Zach Reininger, we just mentioned, some big league time as a relief pitcher, transitioning from the bullpen to a starter. He's just a competitor, and he's been a guy who's pitched in big moments. And like I said, big league time really does matter, especially when you're facing up against these pretty good hitters. Then you've got, we have Joey Matulovich, and there's a possibility that Joey Matulovich could get picked up at some point along the way this season. He is so good. He's quick. He works well. And he's just get the ball, get back on the slab, fire it down, and get the ball right back. He is a workhorse. He's going to be a really good asset to the starting rotation. And like I said, there's a possibility he might get picked up. So that tells you about how good he is. Then you go over to Landon Barasa, who just pitched today and had five strong innings with six strikeouts against Kansas City. Landon, he's known this league so well. He's been here for a couple of years. Canadian as well, so the fans will always get behind him when he starts at home. So I'm really excited to see what kind of turn he'll make. Because he said last year, in his own words, that yes, last year was good but not exceptional. I think he turned the corner this year and become the exceptional pitcher that we saw when he was in the University of San Francisco. And then there's that fifth spot in the rotation. We don't really know where that's going to go. We're still waiting on Marshall Kosowski to come over from his time on the inactive list. He's dealing with a little bit of an oblique issue. He's had some big, big minor league seasons, pitched well for the AAA affiliate for the Dodgers in Oklahoma. He's a guy who can easily come into this league and just start mowing down guys. And then you have Travis Seabrook as well, who's also another Canadian who's been quite experienced into this league. He's going to be an interesting role, though, this year. He's going to get a start tomorrow. It'll be the first time he gets on the bump for the Goldeyes in any sort of role for the 2024 season. So, I mean, this rotation is pretty solid. And then you look at the bullpen, and this bullpen is stacked. I mean, top to bottom, from first guy out of the pen to the closer. We still don't even have our who we thought was going to be our closer in the offseason, Joey Steele. He's training at Driveline. We'll probably see him at some point in July. Justin Courtney is taking over in that role right now, and he looks really good. He said his fastball was topping out at 97. He's got a really good 12-6 as well that could really be good for him. Ryder Yackel came into the bullpen today. He just is a strike-throwing machine. Then you have a couple of other guys who are just going to really have to kind of give themselves an opportunity, like Tasker Strobel, excuse me. So far, really the only left-hander on his staff until Seabrook got in. He's had a big year in 2022, so if we get him anywhere near that form, he's going to be absolutely incredible. Nick Troglick-Iverson is someone who we thought, man, this guy could have easily been in affiliated baseball right now, but he ended up in an opportunity with the Goldeyes, another Canadian as well, so that's always an exciting thing to see when you have guys who not only are really good baseball players, but are Canadian and also want to be a part of the Winnipeg Goldeyes.
As you're looking at this team right now, and you know, this is your first shot of calling American Association Baseball this year. So who are some players whose stories you think that fans are really going to get behind as the season is going along?
I mean, it's so tough. So obviously the fans know Miles Simington and Dayton Cruz, who have an opportunity this year. If they perform really well, there's a possibility that they could get picked up at some point in their professional career. Those guys are great, not only hitters, but also they're really good human beings as well, which I think is more important than what you do on the field. Ryan Holgate is someone who's looking for some more at-bats. He got drafted in the second round by the Cardinals out of the University of Arizona. Just didn't get a whole lot of opportunities to show what he could do in the professional ranks. I think he's going to get an opportunity to really show what he can do and really get that power swing going. He's a guy who could probably hit double-digit home runs. He's someone who I'm really looking for. Along with that, Andy Armstrong, I think, is someone who could be quietly one of the best defenders in the league, maybe even possibly fight for a gold glove if we have one. That guy just really loves playing the game of baseball, and I think that's the most telling part about it. It doesn't matter where this guy is. He just loves playing. He loves the game, and I think the fans really can get around someone like that. Adam Hull is someone else who can really become a fan favorite in Canada from Bermuda, but also has Canadian citizenship with his parents. So he's got a lot of upside to him as well. He's been on a little bit of a slower start so far of the year, but he's a guy who, if you get him going on base, he can steal a lot of bases, and he's going to be someone who would be absolutely amazing to have at the top of your lineup. And then we have two guys who aren't even here yet in Edwin Arroyo and Robbie Enriquez. Those guys are still in Puerto Rico right now playing in the playoff series in the Puerto Rican Winter League. So, I mean, there's really kind of up and down this roster. You take a look, any one of these guys is a star. Any single one of these guys has a great story to tell. And ultimately, I think that's just what makes this team so unique, is that every single one of them has already bought in. And you don't really see that too often, at least in terms of pro ball. And like I said, when you're starting out on the road like that, everyone's gelling together. Everyone's getting to know each other. The close quarters on the bus, I've already just learned a new card game myself just from these guys. So there's a lot of great things to learn from these guys, and I'm just excited to be a part of their journey as well.
Talk, if you could, about the veteran presence that you get from having someone like Max Murphy, who's been in the league since 2018, in the lineup.
Oh, well, first of all, Max is a terrific human being. I mean, we talked about it last time when I was on the show. I finally actually did get a chance to meet him and get a chance to talk with him. I haven't really gotten a full-blown conversation with him to really pick his brain, but just by him being a great person, and then on top of that, being an excellent baseball player, it just makes it everything so much easier to really go about your business, even as a broadcaster, because he knows how to do his job every single day. And then the on-field performances, he just hit a home run today that almost cleared the visitor's bullpen in Kansas City. So, you know, the power's still there. He's a guy who just continues to rake wherever he goes. And I'm really fortunate to get a chance to broadcast him. I was really upset when I heard that he was going to go to Mexico for the season, because I just heard the stories and I've heard the legend, and I was just really wanting to get a chance to see what an American Association hero is like in Max Murphy. And now getting a chance to talk with him, getting a chance to see him, he's just, you know, he's just another baseball player, but it's the personality that he is. It's the way he carries himself. It's the way he talks to the younger guys on this ball club. It's the way he talks to the fans. It's the way he really just is a person who is an excellent baseball player. It's how he stands out, I think, between every other guy who's on this roster.
Well, Trevor, we appreciate you being on. So I have two questions to close you out with. So let's first of all start with, where can fans catch you this season for broadcast? And are you intending to have like a daily show that you would like talk about the team or something where people can catch you as well?
Fans can always find me at the ballpark, first of all. It doesn't matter if we're on at home or on the road. I'm usually running around the ballpark trying to get interviews, trying to see some fans, meet some of the old Gold Eyes fans, especially at home. When we're on the road, I'm just trying to experience what it's like to travel to new cities and get a chance to see what this whole great country is about. I mean, both for Canada and the United States. When we're not technically on the air, I guess first of all, we'll be on CGNU 93.7 FM, which is the flagship station for the Winnipeg Gold Eyes. Then we'll be on AATV, which is now for free, which is exciting for anybody to get a chance to watch some more baseball when, let's say, your favorite team is on an off day and the Winnipeg Gold Eyes get a chance to play. Just throw on the streaming app on your phone and you get a chance to watch some pretty good baseball. But when it comes to weekly updates or anything like that, I'm going to do a pregame show every single game. We do a 30-minute pregame show with the Gold Eyes, and I'm hoping that on the AATV we get to do a full pregame show as well, because you really get a chance to not only see what I'm going to be performing like, but you also get to hear some excellent interviews from the players. You get to hear Logan Watkins go through his thoughts before the game. It's just something that you don't get to see or hear from other broadcasts. I don't think there's any other broadcast in the league that does a 30-minute pregame show. I think that's unique to the Gold Eyes. And big thank you to the guys at CGNU, especially Wes Keeley, who's been running our board ops for the time being. He's an absolutely incredible guy. We've had a great chemistry so far, and we've only been working for just a couple of days now. But for the Gold Eyes fans, stay tuned to social media. We'll be posting stuff out. Like I said, we've got a new younger as communications assistant, so Jason Young doesn't have as much on his plate now. He gets to kind of hand it off over to Nick in that department. So I think Gold Eyes fans and just American Association fans in general are going to see a lot more Winnipeg Gold Eyes content this year, and that's always exciting.
So Trevor Kellis taken out here is, when the Winnipeg Gold Eyes are hoisting the Miles Wolf Cup over their heads, what happened to make that occur?
I think it's all going to come down to starting pitching. I think the Gold Eyes have 1 through 5 that is going to compete with anybody in this league. And I'm going to be a little biased here and say I think they have the best starting rotation that the American Association has to offer. In terms of just how these players are as well, the way they go about their business every single day, these guys are true professionals. The way they carry themselves off the field, the way they carry themselves on the field. There's a great group of guys who really mesh well together, and having that chemistry is, I think, more important than how good you are on the field. How good are these guys to each other in the clubhouse? How good are these guys on off days when they're hanging out with each other? What is it going to be like when Logan Watkins needs to call on a guy in a spot where we need him? Who's going to be the one to step up? I think it's the personality of players is what really stands them out between everyone else. And like I said, that pitching staff is unreal. The offense is also rebuilt as well, so the offense is going to put up some runs. And then that back end of the bullpen, man, once they have a hot hand, I don't think there's a team in the American Association who will be able to go toe-to-toe against them day in and day out. But like I said, everything is just on paper right now. We've only seen a couple of preseason games. I can't wait to see when these guys actually start really taking everything to the nth degree of when it comes to being serious and when it comes to winning ball games. Because at the end of the day, all these guys who are in affiliated baseball, they get a whole new breath of fresh air of what it's like to play in a league where, hey, we're going out here, we're going to be trying to win every single game possible. I'm saying right now that the Gold Eyes are easily, at this point, a team who can win somewhere between, I'd say, 57 to 60 games. I think a 60-game season from this ball club is not out of the woods. I think anyone who's looking at this roster might also agree that this Gold Eyes team is going to be really competitive. But there's also a lot of other competitive teams in this league, too. So, again, nothing's ever a guarantee. In baseball, it's certainly the case. So they're just going to need to go out there and play day in and day out. And they're not going to be thinking about what the season is going to end like. I think they're just going to be focusing on how are they going to get through each day. And they're just going to let the wins and losses take care of themselves. And for the guys like you and I who are really looking at the future, I think we also just realize that this is going to be a very long season. It's 100 games. Anything could happen from now to September. So for right now, I'm also going to do exactly what these guys are doing. I'm just going to take this game by game. I'm going to take it pitch by pitch, and we're going to just let the process decide itself.
Loving it. Trevor Curl, thanks for joining Kevin and I.
Yeah, thanks
Kevin
for doing
and Rob, you guys are awesome. Kevin, Rob, you guys are incredible. I can't wait to see you guys throughout the season.